Hey friends, welcome to Ukulele Buddies.
Oh, I can't hit this chord. Is this fun?
Matt, I'll save it for the show. I've largely stopped buying wrestling toys.
Why?
Because like I just need to stop sinking money into that sort of shit. But I bought one. I'll explain when we get into the show.
We're already doing the show.
You haven't done the intro yet.
Hey friends, welcome to Wrestling Buddies, Game Spots Wrestling Podcast, build wrestling, friendship, and wrestling with friendship. I am your host, 40 for 40. Matt Elfring, heroism hunting and hiking, and I'm here, as always, with Dark Order member, 40 for 40 member, Chris Hayner. Chris, how are you?
Join the Dark Order, Matt. Join darkorder.com. I'm great. Matt got a ukulele while he was in Hawaii, and now he won't stop playing it.
So I'm trying to learn Scavenger Type by NoFX.
No, I understand that, but we're also recording a podcast.
I don't care. I've had the worst 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you've been wondering why we haven't done a pod lately, it's because we've been having a real time. The end of 2022, beginning of 2023, has been rough. But we're here. We're as powerful as ever. I'm back from a bit of a too long trip, I would say, to California. But yeah, we're doing well. We're kicking off the year a bit later than we normally do. But this week we have the tantalizing tasting menu of looking at the states of WWE, AEW, all of pro wrestling.
I'm putting it back.
He's putting the uke away. We're also going to talk about our hopes for the year. But more importantly, Matt, how are you doing?
You want an honest answer, or do you want just like the we're doing the show answer?
I mean, we can go honest answers and just keep it not as graphic or intense
on a killing spree?
I don't know.
I just take this pill.
I can tell you how I've been doing. If you'd like me to lead the way.
Yeah, go ahead. You can lead.
Well, as you know, I was out on the West Coast for a bit there. It was good, but like, it's funny, Matt, when you and I went to WrestleMania in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, you had this thing where you were like, this is fun, but I want to be at home. Like I like being at home. I miss being at home. And at the time, I had no concept of what you were talking about because I hated my apartment and I was a sad, lonely boy living in the Los Angeles, like the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles, California. Now, yeah. Like I live with Lord Pumpernickel. We have a nice place. I enjoy it. I enjoy our routine. So when I go to as I was in LA last week, people can say like, are you having a good time? How you doing? I was like, I'm just ready to go home.
Yeah.
Like I'm having a great time, but I would also be having a great time like hanging out with Lord Pumpernickel and watching Below Deck. Anyway, let's talk rest. Yeah. How are you doing, bud?
Yeah, I went through probably some of the worst depression of my life after getting back from Hawaii, which is weird to say that you go to Hawaii and then but I've been having some, I'm not going to get too in depth, nothing scary, but I'm going through some health stuff right now. Everything is being course corrected. I'm down 14-15 pounds right now.
Look at you, dude.
I believe I was talking to my wife. Said like my wife, I'm noticeably losing weight. So I've made some changes. I work out every single day. We're getting there.
I would like to note I've also been making some changes, and
yes, it was, yes, sir.
It's been brought up to me on a few occasions from Lord Pumpernickel that like I it's noticeable, and like I don't know about you, tell me this is so not wrestling talk, but this is life. No, talk, whatever. Baby,
this is the first episode of the year. I don't care.
Tell me if I you care. Agree. I can't see it. Can you see it on you?
Yes.
Oh, you can. I can never, ever see it. The way I notice is because, like, suddenly my clothes are a lot baggier. I have to tighten my belt more. Like, yep. My belt, at this point, my belt, like, wraps halfway around my back when I have it fastened tightly. Yeah. So, like, that's just, it's just, there's that much extra slack on my belt. So it's stuff like that, but I can't see it. All I see is my stupid hair.
So I lost 8 pounds after having COVID, by the way, when we were on break.
Oh, yeah, that's COVID. Right. You went through another COVID round. Are you another up to COVID. Three?
This is my, so here's the fun part. This is the first time I've taken a COVID test and it's come up positive, but I have had it 3 times.
Interesting. Okay.
A positive test during when I've been sick.
Okay.
But I didn't eat almost the entire week. I didn't work out. Yep. Like, I couldn't eat.
The first time I had COVID, the really, really bad time, I didn't eat for 2 weeks.
I think the first time when we had COVID before the vaccines came out, we were sick for 6 weeks. Again, go to the first, I think, 3 or 4 episodes of this show.
You were COVID.
I have COVID the entire time.
Yeah. Don't go to it, though. I haven't listened back. Those are probably not good.
No, episode, is it 2 or 3, is Dalton Castle. That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay.
The show's different now. I didn't eat. Then yeah. We went to Hawaii and we're walking like 5 miles a day at least. Like, because I'm so excited to be somewhere where I can walk and be out of my Illinois house. And then I came back and I tried to eat healthy when I was there. Lots of just fresh fish. And bad breakfasts, but the rest of the... And then I got home and I'm like, you know, I'm going to continue trying to eat, like, fish, fruits, vegetables, try to cut out fast food entirely, which I have, and continually work out. My lunch breaks every single day are just half an hour working out straight. So it's, you know, we're getting there. Anyway, during the break, Chris, lots of things happen with wrestling.
Matt, I don't even, do we want to get it? Do we just want to like plow? Well, first of all, Matt,
yeah, everybody knows that's listening to this. Everyone knows.
Before we get into the current state of wrestling, I want to get into the current state of Wrestle Buddies because Matt,
yeah,
in less than two weeks, you and I will be in the same room together.
We were supposed to be in the same room today, actually.
Literally today. No,
but we can't talk
today,
about it. But we
today
were.
And tomorrow. Right.
Yeah.
That we can't talk about it. That got canceled. But Matt, you and I are going to the Royal Rumble. We're gonna
we're going to the
road to WrestleMania. That thing that we figured out years ago was fake.
WrestleMania was a whole episode.
That was very early in Wrestle Buddies. Hit lore will say that the road to WrestleMania isn't real, but we're going to be there for the kickoff. We're going to be there for the return of the Ezler Pumpernickel calls them the American Dream Cody Rhodes.
The American Dream Cody Rhodes.
And KO versus Roman and a bunch of other nonsense. It's going to be a good show and we're going to be in the house.
It's Royal Rumble.
It's the pay-per-view that I feel like both of us, it's the one pay-per-view we both wanted to see more than I'm more excited for a Rumble than I am for a WrestleMania. I want to watch. I want to yell 3, 2, 1.
To me, I've been to Mania. You've been, I think, 5 or 6 times now. I've been to Mania twice. Mania is fine. It's fine. But Royal Rumble to me growing up was always my favorite pay-per-view. So,
yeah.
And it's because of the Rumble matches.
And favorite match type.
A favorite match type. Favorite match type by far, actually. I can't think of a match type I like better than a...
I love an Elimination Chamber match.
Those are I've never seen one live.
I've never seen one live, but I like a match with a lot of people in it.
I like it when people's cars aren't the loudest thing in the world. Wait, what's happened to my country?
Oh no, this is not that podcast, Matt.
What's happening in my country? The world's changing around me and I'm too stubborn to change with it, so I'm gonna complain.
Anyway, Matt and I are going to the Rumble. We're gonna be there together. We're gonna record podcasts together.
Mm-hmm.
Also upcoming, the return of Keisha Hatchett. When I was in LA, I hung out a bunch with Keisha. We went to AEW Dynamite. I should talk about that for a minute. I was like, Keisha, we need to have you back on the pod. You are the fourth wrestle buddy. It's very important to keep your streak alive. And I believe Keisha wasn't on any episodes last year.
She was not.
Which is devastating to me.
I believe Greg was.
I think Greg was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg popped in.
Cole, the fifth wrestle buddy.
Yes. So Keisha will be back very soon. She and I already discussed what we're going to talk about on the show. I think I told you, Matt, we're just going to do our hot takes. We're just going to have an episode filled with the hottest of takes.
Cool. I'm really excited for to get more 1-star votes on iTunes because of that. Number two, to have random assholes on Twitter just message us and say, like, your opinion is the worst. I need to whine at every person on the internet.
Matt, you sound like Twitter.
Welcome to Typical Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, boy. No, 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 no.
Welcome to the Typical Wrestling Podcast. We hate wrestling. It sucks.
Let me tell you something, Chris Hayner. The Attitude Era is the greatest era of wrestling because it had butts and boobs and wrestling and people's penises being cut off by samurai swords.
Anytime someone says the Attitude Era was good, I just counter with the line, me choppy choppy your pee pee. And I win. I win.
You can pick... Oh, we should do at some point. This is a thing.
The Val Venus versus Kai and Tai feud?
Yes, but also just a general discussion about the rose colored glasses we all wear for the Attitude Era. Even me.
Absolutely.
Savio Vega doesn't get enough love.
Right. When we think of the Attitude Era, all we think about is like Stone Cold driving the beer truck to the ring, or Stone Cold driving Zamboni to the ring, or Stone Cold driving a monster truck to the ring. And that's all cool stuff. But, like, you have to think about the other 90% of the programming that wasn't Stone Cold.
Which,
Speaking of hoof, Matt, as I mentioned a moment ago, I went to the AEW Dynamite Los Angeles.
Was it a Dynamite show? Week.
Okay, so here's the thing. It was listed as the doors open at 3, the show starts at 4. Okay.
That's way too early, but okay.
Well, because I was on the West Coast and it airs at 8 p.m. on the East Coast. So like if the show starts at 4, it goes live at 5. So we get there and I'm with fellow wrestle buddy Keisha, because we were both at the TV Critics Association press tour in Los Angeles. And the show started at 3:30. Okay.
What?
They started doing Dark Elevation matches at 3:30.
Okay.
Until 5. Then they did Dynamite for 2 hours. Until 7.
3.5 hours.
3.5 hours. Then they did another Dark Elevation match. It was Jade Cargill and somebody versus Sky Blue and Madison Rayne. It was Jade Cargill and one of the baddies versus Sky Blue and Madison Rayne, I believe.
Okay.
And then after that, they did Rampage.
I am exhausted.
Which Rampage... So the main event of Dynamite was... Well, first of all, the opening match of Dynamite was Paige versus Mox, the return match, which was great. The main event of Dynamite was the Escalera de la Muerta, the Ladder of Death match. Featuring the final match between the Elite and Death Triangle for the Trios titles. Great match. Great match in a completely different way than Hangman and Mox. I will note this. As far as I could tell, Mox didn't bleed during his match with Hangman. Mad respect.
Well, that's good.
But the main event of Rampage, Matt, was a women's street fight. It was... Ruby Soho and Willow Nightingale versus Anna JAS and Tay Conti. I think she's Tay Mello now.
Okay.
And Ruby bled more than maybe any human I've ever seen in my life that still lived.
More than Dustin Rhodes.
I believe so.
Whew.
Like Ruby, I don't know what Ruby nicked when blading or what happened, but like it was rough to look at. That match was also punctuated by Willow Nightingale power bombing Anna Jay off the stage through a table. However, something went wrong and they kind of missed the table. So Willow went through the table and Anna Jay got power bombed right onto the concrete.
Awesome.
Based on what I've read, reportedly she's okay. But what it all breaks down to, Matt, is the show started at 3:30 and it ended after like at about 9:05.
So that's like 5.5 hours.
It was a 5.5 hour. It's too long.
I have been to, last year I went to 2 AEW pay-per-views. I went to All Out and then I went to Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
And
I went to Revolution.
I love AEW. I love going to live wrestling. I love WWE for the most part.
Absolutely.
What AEW does not do well, in my opinion, is the card is too stacked. There's no breathing room for the audience. And even with like something like a hot Chicago crowd, whether it's proper Chicago or Chicagoland, I'm not going to get into that. Even with the hot Chicagoland crowd, you lose steam and it's really hard to be excited and continue. And then sometimes Adam Cole gets hurt while you're there. And then you get like really worried about a person you talk to all the time.
Matt, I was there for the return, baby.
I'm very excited Adam is back. I will probably try to get him back on the show again
too. I'll be honest with you. When he came out, when Tony Schiavone introduced him, he says like, I take no joy or I am upset or whatever to welcome Adam, to welcome our next guest. And it was like, yeah, now it's all about the wow.
It's all about the budge.
And I was like, so either Adam Cole is a heel or this is bad. And Adam came out and said, it's a good news, bad news situation. I was like, oh no.
Interesting question.
Oh, okay.
Prediction bot?
Siri?
Okay.
So that was Siri. It was not prediction bot.
Okay.
Of course the bad news was for everyone else on the roster. Cause I'm back, baby, which that's exciting. Like I'm happy that, and it's not even exciting that like, yes, we're going to get Adam Cole matches. I'm happy that this dude that we've become friendly with, this dude who we love to chat with, who's been having a rough time, I'm just glad he's okay and he's able to continue doing what he loves. Yeah. And I'm so glad I got to be there for it. That was
exciting. How was that Serpentico match?
Look, Matt, I had to run. All right, listen. Serpentico has called me out on the internet. And I believe he's called me out now thanks to you tagging him in my posts.
I didn't tag him.
Twitter. You tagged him on Instagram. You tagged him on Instagram.
Okay, on Instagram, I did tag him. Yeah, we talk on Instagrams.
As do we, but you just had to call me out like that on Instagram. So the first match was a Nyla Rose match of the night. And of course, I tweeted like it's Wrestle Buddy's favorite Nyla Rose, which he took issue with.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, if I see you, you are also a Wrestle Buddy's favorite. Now, I had to go back to Will Call to pick something up. Mm-hmm. And evidently, which was on the other side of the arena from where I was sitting. So I had to, yes. I had to make the hike around the arena. Evidently, while I was making that hike is when Serpentico had a match. Because I came back and the message for Serpentico was like, what, you didn't see me out there? I was like, no, I didn't. And my seats are really good, so I should have seen you. But I didn't. And
hey,
I feel,
that's the way the cookie crumbles.
I'm sorry, Serpentico. I love you as a wrestler. I love what is it? The Spanish announce table, Spanish announce team.
Yeah,
their new stable. It's him.
I'm still kind of stuck on the Melee. I mean, that's
the what?
I know what you're saying.
But yeah. So unfortunately, I did not. I told Serpentico to come up and give me a high five. He never showed. So really, who is at fault here?
Nyla.
Wow. I see whose side you're on.
That's, I'm just saying what Serpentico would say. Woof. Oh boy, let's take a drink from our coffees.
Mm. I'm drinking from my Matt. I don't know if you can see this. My big Stanley thermos.
It's a wonderful looking thermos. It just harkens back to a time where men would shoot promotional jeans ads on top of girders while building in New York City.
That's me. That was me in those commercials.
Not a commercial, but a photography ad, a photographic ad. Anyways, we're like 22 minutes into this.
Let's talk real quick about the developments going on at WWE since last we recorded, because a lot's happened.
And even most yesterday.
Most of it is bad, it turns out.
I want to talk about the latest thing, which was I think we're like 99% sure this is confirmed at this point, that like the head of PR essentially is gone. Adam Hopkins.
We don't know. And that, you know, we'll see. I will just say, I loved working with Adam over the years. Adam is one of the better publicists. I've dealt with a lot with many, many publicists across many networks and companies and shows and people. And Adam was always one of the better ones. He was very responsive. He was always very he was always very honest. And I look forward to wherever he ends up next, because whoever gets him is lucky to have him.
Yes. I will second everything you said. He's in my my top 10 PR people.
Yeah, if Wrestle Buddies had a MySpace page,
yeah,
we'd probably put him, we'd slot him in there somewhere, probably after Gangrel.
Yeah. After it's Gangrel, Adam, I'll throw John from AEW in there,
and then my Pasta Mania fan page.
Yeah. Oh, there's still more. And then also we'll throw Mark in there, who used to be at WWE. Yeah.
And then the promotional page from the Ready to Rumble movie.
Yeah. And then David Arquette.
Yeah.
And RoboCop.
Oh, RoboCop is just the background of my MySpace page.
Yeah, and Dog Deadler. Anyway,
But like let's talk bigger about WWE, because like Matt, it's very weird. Finally, when things seem to be going well for the company, Vince is gone, creative is doing great, everything is good. Vince forced himself back onto the board.
Released two board members,
he brought two people with him, George Berrios and Michelle Wilson, who allies, will I believe is how they've been referred to. That's not even the craziest part, dude. Stephanie McMahon quit WWE as part of this.
Yeah.
The place she's worked since she was what, 13?
Yes, and I mean, you can only really speculate what's happening, because her release was just like, I'm finally going to like go away and I'm taking my leave of absence permanently. It was very a positive message, like very professional. What could you do at that point, though, if you're...
The unfortunate thing is Stephanie McMahon, and Matt, we've talked about this, was like the public face of the company. Yes. She was at every event. She was a part of practically every charitable thing that the company did. She was very loud and proud about WWE's investment in communities. And now, without her there, who fills that vacuum? Because, like, she was the public face of WWE's, especially with community outreach.
And you don't have that anymore.
And she was a woman CEO of a gigantic company, and that was cool. And she was new to the job. Like, everything about this is so weird, and everything about this just points to like, is Vince is trying to cash out.
And that's something that you and I have been speculating for the past, ever since the Peacock deal, essentially. And when they started firing people, that WWE, things are all pointing to WWE is going to sell to somebody. There's been rumors that it's been the Saudis for a couple of years. I know it's a private investment firm, but that private investment firm is, from my understanding, part of the Saudi government.
To be fair, all those reports, like, those are all reports that were unsubstantiated, like the companies. And it was also like reported that the WWE had just flat out sold to them. But like, that's not how it works. That's not how it works.
And again, I'm going, when I'm talking about the Saudi, this quote unquote Saudi deal that was reported, this has been something, again, that's been speculated and kind of reported on here and there for a couple of years. But there's also things like Fox could be a buyer. Amazon could be a buyer.
Comcast Universal,
I think, is probably one of the bigger players in this. Somebody said Netflix, and I said, no, that doesn't make sense financially for that company.
It kind of does, though.
I don't
think Netflix is now dipping their toe into live programming.
It's true. That's true. But when Peacock already has a $3 billion deal with WWE over the rights of.
Oh, for sure. Like
it doesn't make sense for Netflix.
Universal makes the most sense, but Netflix could pick it up after the Peacock deal ends and walk away with the entire tape library.
And then Netflix just buries WWE in, like they do with everything else.
Yeah, you'll find it next to the K-dramas.
I would personally say that it if it stays in America or stays part of an American corporation, it's going to be Amazon or Comcast. That makes the most sense to me.
See, for me, I think the most sensible options are Comcast or Disney. I think Disney under Bob Chapek wouldn't have. Bob Iger's whole thing with Disney has been acquisition.
Uh-huh.
Like, he acquired Lucasfilm, Marvel, like Disney acquired a lot. Fox.
He changed the face of Disney, the best.
A bunch of times. Yeah. And I think whoever ends up buying WWE is going to be looking at more than just TV. I think they're going to be looking at ways they could branch into film, ways they could branch into themed entertainment. Like, we've talked about this before. I want to eat at a WWF restaurant in City Walk at Universal Studios. I just think there is, for media conglomerates that have a lot of hands in a lot of different industries, there's way too many upsides
to how you could use. You already have Hulu built in, and Hulu already has people watching WWE programming on there day after with SmackDown and Raw, and NXT, I believe, is
that would only make that would only make sense with Disney, though, because I believe NBC or Comcast Universal is getting rid of
minority shareholder or minority owner at this point.
Minority owner, and I believe I could be wrong. I thought they were getting ready to give up their stake in it.
From what my understanding, because I tend to cover streaming service business news a decent amount, it seems like Disney is slowly working on just becoming sole owner of Hulu. And I think a lot of that is also because of rights, and because Disney also has the Hotstar property, which is essentially Hulu in India or Hulu in other markets. So I think it makes the most sense for Disney to become the only owner of Hulu. So again, Disney would make sense to purchase WWE, but at this point, this is all speculation.
That's the thing. Nothing. None of us know anything.
No.
And I feel like that's the way the world likes it.
But it's been a bummer. I don't want the Saudis.
No. Because honestly, it would be hard to. It'd be hard to look at the WWE the same way, period.
Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot of talent jump ship if that happens.
Like if I'm Sami Zayn and I don't even do the Saudi shows.
Yeah.
Like I would want out of my contract.
He'd be gone. And I'm sure Kevin Owens would be gone at that point too.
It's all very curious.
A lot of women would probably leave at that point as well.
But we'll see what happens to that end.
Yeah.
Lord knows. AEW seems to be doing well. There's still no movement on what, if anything, will happen to CM Punk.
I'm fine without him.
I'm fine. Honestly, the shows have been good.
Yeah, I
the shows have been good when you're not there live. If you're there live, it's a long night at the matches.
With a former WWE talent and AEW, I think it's a great way to get eyes on the product. But when the product becomes But the primary focus of that product becomes, here's some old WWE guys. And I don't mean old derogatory. I mean, like, here's someone you're familiar with. When that becomes the focus of the product, the rest of the product suffers to me. Because I came to AEW because you've got, like, OG Bullet Club. You know, you've got these wrestlers that have made huge names for themselves on the indies. And people I'm completely unfamiliar with. We're getting to see indie wrestling on a national and global level, which is fantastic. But when the product shifted more towards WWE people, I lost a lot of interest, and I've started coming full turn back into AEW hard now.
And also, because the focus is less on that. Oh yeah. I love what they're doing right now, where they're pitting WWE people up against quote unquote AEW originals. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the feud between Mox and Hangman Page. They had a banger of a match on Dynamite.
Yeah.
I love the feud that's brewing between Bryan Danielson and MJF over the title. Like,
that's been so good.
It's been so good and so subtle, and it's going to be a hell of a match. I don't even remember what Jericho is feuding with Ricky Starks right now.
But also, Jericho as a person in this business, to me, is doing the perfect thing he should be doing at this point in his career. He's still a fantastic wrestler. He's still amazing on the mic. He's still, like, to me, one of the best of all time, period. Mm-hmm. But he constantly takes younger wrestlers under his wing, gives them screen time, coaches them, like,
and Jake Hager.
And Jake, but I mean, like, but you need that in a stable. We've talked about stables before. You need,
you need the heater. People. Yeah. You need the multiple styles too, but you also need the big guy.
Yeah, exactly. But he's the big Jericho guy. Is constantly putting other wrestlers over, like, and say what you want about some of the weird stuff in his personal life. I'm going to ignore that. He's a person in the wrestling business you need.
Like, he
never puts himself first. Well, yes and no, but you know what I'm getting at.
I understand what you're saying. Jericho is wisely in the role of sort of the elder statesman of the AEW locker room at this point.
Yeah.
He is very wisely setting up the future of the industry.
And
him and Danielson had that whole quasi feud with Daniel Garcia that, like, I feel like that's the only misstep so far. Like, feud, the Daniel Garcia stuff kind of went weird. And then, like, it's almost as if they pretended it never happened.
Which that's going to happen in wrestling. We've seen that happen a billion times. Things absolutely just disappear.
But, like, the fact that he's feuding with Ricky Starks right now, and, like, Ricky Starks is on fire right now, dude. I love Ricky Starks. I love that his whole thing is I dab a lot. But, like, when Ricky Starks came out, when that those trumpets in his theme song hit, like, the place went nuts. And I was like, oh my God, people love Ricky Starks. This is great.
Yeah.
Also, and then you have people like Billy Gunn, who, like, not a full-time wrestler anymore, but he's with the Acclaimed, and he's just building that group up more and more and more.
And listen, there's the Gun Club. But
I will say, do you know that Austin and Colton aren't known as the Gun Club anymore? They're the Guns.
Yeah.
And they do this a lot. The Guns, they show off their muscles.
But there's so much to... the only thing that's really lacking to me still is the women's division. It's getting a little bit better, but it's still, I don't want to compare WWE and AEW and create some sort of fake war. But just looking at what WWE does with their women's division, it is top notch gold level stuff. Like, I love what they do with the women's division there.
I think I solidified the issue with the AEW women's division. I was talking to Keisha about it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the issue is there's not enough defined characters.
Yeah.
The one defined character they have is Britt Baker, and that's because she was injured during the pandemic, but they kept her on TV building out that character.
I would say Jade is pretty defined.
Jade is pretty, I would agree with that. Jade is pretty defined.
So Britt, Jade, and Nyla, I think those are your three. At this point,
but Nyla's not featured nearly as heavily as she should be.
No.
But, like, I don't know what the character of Ruby Soho is other than good guy. I feel like Saraya is just doing the same page bit that she was always doing, which is fine, but like, I need something new to glom on to. You know what I mean?
I think that's the problem with AEW at this point in time, is it's having the WWE woes from 4 years ago, where it's a huge roster and it's very hard with the limited amount of programming to give all these people to help define them more.
I would also like to add, I would like to add to that group of well-defined talent. I think Anna Jay and Tay Mello are both I like that they're in the JAS because I think it is giving them time to define their characters. Mm-hmm. And I think Jamie Hayter is starting to come a long way too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I look at someone like Toni Storm. I love Toni Storm. I love Toni Storm's work,
but she bores you in AEW.
I don't know what it is.
That's yeah.
Like other than like her song kind of sounds like Barracuda.
Yep.
And she wears sunglasses cause she's cooler than I am.
But I think that is just an overall problem in AEW, is we're not getting to know who these characters are.
It's a luxury problem to have. They have an overabundance of ridiculously talented people on their roster.
But it's also because you look at the two companies of AEW and WWE, they are polar opposites as far as wrestling goes, where AEW is more match focused, WWE is more story focused. So with WWE, you are getting these wonderfully crafted, bigger, larger than life characters who you know everything about, who wrestle once every 4 months compared to AEW. We're not getting to know these characters, but you get to see them in the ring every week.
And I'll also say this, there are evidently storyline developments happening on Dark and Dark Elevation that I have no idea about. Like, I distinctly remember Private Party, I think, lost a match to Ethan Page and somebody, and thus they became the property. Them and Matt Hardy, like, had to sign contracts with whatever Stokely Hathaway's faction is called, and it was, like, mm-hmm. a bunch of baby faces stuck in a heel faction, which could be interesting. However, this week at the taping I was at, one of the matches was one of the members of Private Party and Matt Hardy, and they came to the ring to the Hardy Boys music. And then Ethan Page came out mad that the Private Party guy wasn't juking like Jeff Hardy. And Matt Hardy seemed to agree and was happy that Ethan Page was there. I was like, I don't understand what the development is here.
That's kind of how I felt about most of what Matt Hardy's been involved with since coming back.
I think Matt Hardy in AEW has been kind of
underwhelming.
Bad?
I went with a nicer word, but yeah, I'm okay, sadly in agreement.
I went with the truth. It's bad. It's just not good.
No.
But yeah, it's, I think we have an interesting year ahead for both of these companies for completely different reasons.
Yeah.
I'm scared for the future of WWE, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Scared? That's understanding it. I am terrified. I am terrified that a year from now, either WWE won't really be a thing anymore, mm-hmm. Or that I'm just going to refuse to watch it because of the owners.
Possible.
I'm not excited for that prospect because there's so many people that we're already seeing, so many people getting let go behind the scenes with all these changes that are happening. And like, to me, I don't know. I am just scared there's going to be a mass exodus. And like, what happens then? Because AEW can't pick up all those people. There's no Impact. I'm sure Impact's a third option, but like,
no, man, you know who's going to save the day?
MLW?
Freddie Prinze Jr., baby.
He was just on the AEWs.
Oh, I know. I too was there. They didn't cut to me. MJ, they didn't let MJF make fun of me, star of the Wrestle Buddies podcast. I was slightly disappointed. I also wasn't ringside.
But I mean, what you think about, and again, speculation, this is just, but if there is another mass exodus, like, what, are you going to have another Impact Slammiversary thing where like a bunch of people jump into Impact They get the Good high Brothers viewership are back, for like a baby. Month. What? Yeah.
The Good Brothers are back again, baby.
Yeah, I'd be, but like...
The Good Brothers, who were... The Good Brothers, because I think AJ's out injured right now. Good Brothers, yeah. Not involved in the tag team title scene at all.
No.
Which is kind of a friggin' bummer.
Wait, did Carl Anderson lose the Never Wide Open Championship?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say. There is also that prospect of, like, WWE and New Japan working together, which excites, I think, just me and, like, four people.
I mean, I think it would be interesting. I think the possibility is there. Matt Mercedes Monet is now...
Money, the possibility money. Was there. The possibility was there before McMahon came back, because with...
Yeah, okay. Now you're talking.
There we go. With Shinsuke working with Great Muda...
that would not have happened if Vince was still in control, because I believe Shinsuke said that, like, he asked about it way back when Vince was still in control, and it was a no.
Yeah, but then Triple H and Stephanie are in charge, and it's
like, and it was a great idea.
I think, and again, my opinion, speculation, I think Stephanie and Paul and Nick Khan understand wrestling as a global phenomenon better than Vince. Vince understands WWE.
Matt.
Yeah.
Be with me when it right now.
Yeah,
do you think there will be a moment when Tony Khan tweets out an image, Paul Levesque and Stephanie McMahon are all elite?
I think what would happen in the wildest of dreams is It'll that there would be happen. A third. They would never happen. I think if something crazy were to happen, it would be the triple Paul Levesque and Stephanie McMahon would start another company.
They call
I don't think
WWF.
That's plausible, but I think it'd be crazy. I'd be into it.
I would also be very into it.
But I don't know if that's going to happen.
No, God, no.
No. I mean, that seems like a money suck.
So do you have any hopes or thoughts or predictions for this year? I got a couple. And honestly, one that I just thought of last night.
I was watching
Raw from this week. I think they're going to break up the tag title soon, because if you... watched Raw, you would note that the Judgment Day are the number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team Championships.
Yes.
Not the Undisputed Tag Team titles, specifically the Raw belts. So I think they're starting to warm up to the idea of breaking up the belts. And thank God.
We need the belts. It was fun while it lasted, but it's lasted too long.
Yeah, it's time to get one of those belts off of Roman. So that Raw can have a champion again, because,
yeah,
I mean, for the most part, Roman don't work Mondays, which is fine. But like, good Lord, we need. Right now, Raw's champion is Austin Theory.
Yeah,
he's growing on me. He's growing on me quite a bit with his newer developments of his character. But like, man, Raw needs a world champion back in the mix.
Yeah. Again, having the belts together unified has been fun, but it's overstayed its welcome to me at this point.
Yep.
The Bloodline has not overstayed its welcome. It's still fantastic. No. It's, in fact, like, let's keep going with this for a while. Keep having Roman be champion. I am fine with him being SmackDown champion or Universal champion at this point.
Yeah.
But let's get the World Heavyweight Championship off of him.
Yeah.
Let's get the Raw Tag Team Champions off the Usos.
I agree wholeheartedly.
If you're going to have 40 belts in the company, you need to have more than three people with them.
Yeah. You're right. You're just right. So that's my big prediction. I think we're going to get The Rock at WrestleMania. I think pardon me for saying this, outright failure of Black Adam has all but assured it.
Yeah.
If Black Adam had been a massive, massive hit, we wouldn't be getting The Rock at WrestleMania.
No.
It wouldn't make sense.
The Rock, John Cena, three times in a lifetime.
Oh my God. For the third time in a lifetime. Man, no thank you. How about you? You got any big thoughts for the year?
I think that we're going to get a legit Bray Wyatt stable.
Ooh, yeah.
More so than Uncle Howdy, which, like, we're all 99% sure it's Bo Dallas, right?
It's Bo Dallas, man.
I mean, like,
is this the happiest you've ever been with a Bray Wyatt storyline? The fact that Bo Dallas is coming back?
I will be when, like, when the Uncle Howdy stuff, like, comes to fruition and it's more than just him popping up, you know?
I will say, I like when he just pops up, though.
So do I. But it's I want more. I want him to be, like, a wrestler. I would not mind Alexa Bliss going back. They've been kind of hinting at it. I don't want her to be the fiend Alexa Bliss. I want her to be Alexa Bliss now, but just a little, maybe tiny bit darker and working with Bray and working with Uncle Howdy. Or maybe it's Bray and Uncle Howdy are not going to be in the same stable together and they'll be continually be at odds with each other. But I would like to see more of like a kind of like that supernatural stable from them. And there's plenty of wrestlers.
I feel like we're gonna get a big tip in that direction at the Rumble.
I think so.
When Bray Wyatt faces LA Knight in a Mountain Dew pitch black match.
By the way,
what is that? I don't care.
Yeah, but God, what was it? Remember when we interviewed AJ Styles before the Boneyard match? And we're just like, what is a Boneyard match? AJ smiles and he's like, it's whatever you want it to be.
Yep.
Come on, man. Like, yeah, that's how I feel sometimes about branding.
He's right, though.
But like, WWE brands these weird matches just like Chicago street fight.
Yeah, but like, that makes sense. Like, that's a street fight.
Does
a street fight makes sense?
I know, but when you brand it with something else, or the horror show. Remember the horror show?
The horror show at Extreme Rules, you mean?
where they had the
like the Bray Wyatt Swamp match?
So it was the House of Horrors match, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, where there's
just
a picture of maggots on the mat. What?
Well, it's Matt, like it's this like, match has this match is sponsored by Mountain Dew and it has Mountain Dew in the title,
which I love, by the way. I do love it's the Mountain Dew pitch black
look
match.
Eventually WWE 2K23 is going to be announced. If the Mountain Dew pitch black logo isn't in the logos for custom creations, I'm going to be severely disappointed.
Me too. I feel like there's just a writer's room. I say writer's room, but it's writer's backstage area where they just throw darts at a board of words and they're like, This is the match. All right, well, let's go to the sponsor first. Kaboom Box. Let's see, what city? Boston.
A YJ Stinger hardcore match.
It's the Kaboom Box Boston ladder fight.
I love it.
Brought to you by Skechers.
Matt, and I'll say this. Imagine this. We are going to be there live for what will eventually become a future Wrestle Buddies segment.
Yeah.
Have you thought of that? We're going to be there. Honestly, we should record the night.
Let's just record the episode there. Yeah.
No. Well, I was going to say, when we get back to the hotel after the Rumble, we should record on the spot an episode just about our thoughts of the pitch black match.
I love that literally
nothing else about the Rumble.
I love that in theory, but by the time we get back to our hotel, we're gonna be so tired.
Look, dude, I will house a friggin' pot of coffee and we will make this happen. We can order, maybe we'll luck out and WWE will have some sort of themed kitchen in the area, and then we could order garbage food and talk about the Mountain Dew pitch black match.
Oh my god.
Also, I think I mentioned this before. WWE Smackadillas are now in my neighborhood under their original name, Super Dio or whatever.
We talked about this right before the break.
Okay.
Gross. So gross.
I'm so tempted to try them again, though.
You know what? And I think that's where we're going to wrap it up. We have something special that we cannot talk about coming up in the next couple of weeks. There's actually a lot of like very special things coming up we cannot talk about.
Yes, we got some big things coming up. We'll including the return of Keisha.
Yes.
For a hot take breakdown. Also, Keisha and I talked a lot about, not a lot, but we talked a little bit about e-feds while we were in the Uber to the AEW show. And man, I just miss e-feds.
We did do an episode of e-feds. I believe it's like episode 6
with Keisha. I just want us to have an e-fed. I wish we had a listenership that wanted to do an eFed with us. That's it.
I would totally be into that. But stay tuned the next few weeks. Again, we cannot talk about anything, but there is some like it's a cornucopia of different types of cool things that we are planning right now.
Yeah.
And I am so super pumped. I apologize to all of you for taking a few weeks off.
We taking a well-deserved holiday break after our holiday special in which we mended fences, at least temporarily, between Nyla Rose and Serpentico. We deserved a break.
By the way, that might be my favorite episode we've done. Smackadeus. Never mind. Smackadeus is number one. That's number two.
Smackadeus is number one because we were in the room together.
Exactly. I mean, we're going to have that again in a few weeks.
Yeah. Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. Let's go.
All right. So we will see you guys next week with wait, when's the date on that? Let me see if I can even allude to anything fun.
I don't think so. No, that'd be the 26th.
Yes, we can allude to something. We have something.
We have something this week, but I don't know if we can talk about it yet.
Hold on. This is what I'm going to do right now.
Because there is an embargo.
I know, and that's what I'm looking for. Because let me just look at when is that embargo. When is that embargo, baby? Can I say that next week is something? What?
I believe the embargo is the 23rd.
Next week, we have something super awesome.
Yeah.
Next week's a good one, guys. I'm serious. We can't say anything, but next week's a good one as long as what is being planned happens tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, it's tomorrow. Holy
it's cow. Tomorrow.
Guess we'll have to study up.
Not really. So again, we'll see you guys next week. Very, very something cool and special coming up that I think you'll be happy and excited about. Yeah. Chris, any final words?
RoboCop.
That's how you kick off the year. See you next week.
That's right, baby. Thanks for listening to Wrestle Buddies. We hope you had at least almost as much fun as we did. Go ahead and rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app. You can email us questions at WrestleBuddies@GameSpot.com or find us over on Twitter at WrestleBuddies. I am at Chris Hayner. He is at I'm Matt Elfring. See you next week.
Wrestle Buddies is a copywritten GameSpot website podcast. You do not have permission to use anything contained within the episode, or you'll be sued by me, Dog Dad Lawyer. I've got a dog named Clarence. He's a beautiful pug.